working with computers wasn't something that was interesting to me. To some extent, I enjoyed, you know, doing the microbiology stuff and things like that. So I would never have imagined this path for myself. Starting tech generally was like from a non-technical background that I did not even interface like with computers when I was like in school or doing anything. Like the only thing I did with the computer was like for my final year project, right? So
everything, I'm like, okay, I'm not sending any application
job. I think I had those points too, because like it was like it can get really really frustrating, and you just, you know, tell on you, and like you begin to doubt yourself. What
exactly? Kind of, yeah.
So I think I took breaks as well from the applications. Like I'll just be like, okay,
you know, you got that first GitHub Star Award. How did that make you feel?
My name is Esther Adebayo, and on my tech journey with Esther, I sit down with tech folks to talk about how they've been able to handle rejections, overcome obstacles in their careers, and really cut through the hype. From coding mistakes to battling rejections, balancing work life, and even doing phenomenal things, my guests will share everything raw and real on my tech journey with Esther. New episodes drop every week, so you don't want to miss out.
Hi Ruth, it's really good to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, hi Esther, it's great to have you here as well, and excited for the chat.
Same here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a busy week. I've had like a lot of work this week, so like thank God for the weekend. So
yeah, thank God it's
fine. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been good. Lots of working on my side projects that I'll be very glad to announce in a couple of weeks. So yeah, it's been a good week so far. All right, so before we jump into our conversation, I always play fun games with my guests at the beginning of every episode.
You didn't inform me of the first
game. No, you were not informed. it just put you on the spot and just, you know, create a really nice vibe for the conversation. Yeah, so you tend to travel, I think, regularly, fairly regularly. So I'm going to ask you something related to that.
Okay.
Very simple questions, no chill.
I hope so.
No sweat it.
I hope so. Okay, let's do it.
So, mention 6 countries that start with the letter T.
Letter T, Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
Esther was the best minority copy. Oh my God,
Tanzania, let's go. 5 to go.
I've not even said up to 3. Thailand,
it's called yeah, 2.
Wow. Hey,
2 more African countries that I know of. Sure, that starts with T.
Hey, Jesus Christ, so fast. My brain is working now.
See. There's one that you eat. It's not an African country, but you actually eat is Putin.
It's not an African country, but you actually eat
no.
Putin. Hey.
Chicken. What's the second of chicken?
Turkey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Turkey. That's 3.
It's meaning three.
I can give you clues. There's one that is a French-speaking country in Africa.
French-speaking country.
In West Africa.
Togo.
Yeah. 4.
Let's see. Stop.
Okay, should I say the remaining?
Yes.
Or I should give. Okay, there's Tunisia.
Tunisia is even in Africa.
Yeah, Tunisia is in Africa. There's Taiwan. That's in Asia. Asia. Yeah.
Pacific.
Yeah.
Next time.
Oh, you tried. You tried. That's why I didn't tell you so that no.
Yeah, it was me on this spot. But yeah, a good brain exercise.
Yeah, it is. And so let's get started. In terms of your what you do right now. You work in tech as an open source advocate, right? But how did you transition from microbiology to tech? Like, how exactly did that happen? And you even transitioned during COVID in 2020. So how did that happen, you know, all during COVID?
Yeah, interesting question. I think I graduated in 2019, so it was like, you know, the normal after graduation NYC for Nigerians, you know, you have to serve your country. So even before I graduated, I think during my final year, so I have friends that were even in tech while they were in school, right? So I had like a friend that was a developer, the other one is a designer. So like I usually see them, you know, write code, have meetings, calls like that. And I was really curious. I think in my microbiology, throughout the 4 years, I just did like 2 computer courses. They were like just courses that, you know, those faculty related courses, like,
oh, yeah,
for the sake of doing it. And it was such a horrible experience, honestly, because, like, you know, like with the Nigerian education system, you just have to, like, there were barely any computers, right? So you just have to, like, read and memorize and write.
Very theoretical, right?
Very theoretical, yes, exactly. So tech wasn't, or working with computers wasn't something that was interesting to me. To some extent, I enjoyed, you know, doing the microbiology stuff and things like that. So I would never have imagined this path for myself. I would not have imagined it. But I think curiosity, seeing, you know, the things that my colleagues were doing, like, it was quite interesting. I was like, okay, let's see. I'm almost like final year is a very, very tedious year, so like I didn't want to like, you know, engage in something during that. So I was like, okay, let me pause. I'm almost done with school, so why not? I can explore this after school. So 2020 came, the pandemic, and then I couldn't go for service. Like, everybody was stuck at home with the lockdown and everything. A lot of things were paused. So I was like, okay, this might be a good time to just, you know, pick up that tech skill and just learn some things. So I said, okay, let me just do this out of, like, curiosity and just see what it's like, try to build up stuff. And I did, like, some research because I wanted to still do a lot of things in microbiology at that time. So I said, okay, let me do some research. I did some research and I saw that, you know, Python is used for data analysis, and like I could use it to analyze microbiology data, you know, make things more easier for myself. So I said, okay, let me start with Python. And I did ask questions for my friends. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a good thing that you can start with this programming language. So that's how I just, you know, started transitioning gradually and brought me here.
Awesome. So when you were learning Python, did you learn on your own, or was it like someone helping you, or just tutorials, you watching tutorials?
Yeah, it was mostly watching tutorials. I know that time, since it was also the lockdown, so there's I grew up in Port Harcourt, and there's this place called Tech Creek. It's like a government owned building for technology related things in the state, in Rivers State. So they used to run this boot camp kind of style, physical boot camps, but because of, you know, the pandemic, right, they closed as well, like it wasn't really available. So I had to like start learning like via tutorials. I know I did a couple of research. I started with data camp courses. Yeah, exactly. And then over engaging with Twitter, I think I got this scholarship from Dev Careers to do, like, they had this, I'm trying to remember the name, but the platform name, but it's like really very interesting. It's like they use cartoon like animations to teach Python. I'm trying to remember the name. Maybe if I recall it, I would send it. But like, it was, I got that scholarship to like have access to the platform for like 3 months. So I mostly learned from like online tutorials, online programs, and, you know,
that's an inspiring like story, just knowing that like you saw your friends and then, you know, they inspired you and then you said, okay, I want to, you know, start this path, and then and you were very proactive in learning and just putting yourself out there, and now you're one of the few people that when we talk about those driving open source awareness, you mentioned Roots. So how did your open source journey start?
Had open source. I think it's really connected. The stories are connected with even started because I started like doing open source very, very early.
So even when you started.
Yes, exactly. At the same time. So because like, and that was because like even my friends, like the my colleagues, they were into like open source, contributing to open source actively, right? And that's a Peace or Gemma. She's, you know, one of it's actually like they were already contributing to open source actively, right? So even with my interest then, I had asked, okay, what is this particular, what is this particular thing that you're doing? And it's like, okay, she explained it as volunteering but in like in tech, right? So I was like, oh cool, right? So when I started doing my research and like Python, starting with Python as an open source programming language, was like, okay, this is really good, it's a good start point for you. And she introduced me to like communities. I started with the GNOME Foundation then. So she introduced me to like communities, open source communities I could start with and contribute to. So it was really, really very at the, like at the start. It was like, I think 3 months later, I started researching how to like, you know, join open source communities, how I can be part of open source and then finding communities and contributing to them. So very early, I started quite early.
Okay, that's interesting, because for me, when I started tech sometime 2019, I think I did not really know much about open source. I didn't even know there was a thing called open source up until like almost a year after. That's when I started hearing about open source. So just knowing that you start your journey somehow hand in hand with open source, contributing to open source is great. And what has that impact on your career, like open source, how has it impacted your career so far?
It's like a, I think most times I would say that like without open source, like it sums up how the progress of my career has been in like 4 years, because for me starting tech generally was like from a non-technical background that I did not even interface like with computers when I was like in school or doing anything. Like the only thing I did with a computer was like for my final year project, right? So, you know, I started as a beginner, totally a beginner. So there were those challenges there of like, how do I experiment these things that I'm learning, or how do I put into practice these things that I am learning, right? So open source kind of gave me that opportunity to like experiment the things I was learning in real life, and not just like as a pet project, but like this thing, you're doing it for a community, you're doing it for a group of people that depend on the software that you are working with. So it's not like it's not a pet project, right? So it gave me that that's playground or that place to experiment a lot of things and learn as I experiment. It also helped me move towards the path of leadership, and I think maybe during the course of our conversation I would share more about that. Another thing it helped me do was, you know, improve my communications with people, like people management. A lot of the responsibilities I have now presently are like around people, like managing people in programs. So like that also, like engaging with open source early on helped me like engage more with people, know how to manage a group of people. So I think those are the few things I would highlight, but I think over the course of like our chats I would still pick out some things.
Okay. I like what you said about how open source allowed you to engage more people, because that's one of the things I learned also, just contributing to open source. The fact that you have to work with people that you probably do not even know, people that you're just collaborating. Exactly, right? That they are not even in your country. They are not people you've met physically, but you still have to collaborate and work with them. For me, that's a very huge add that open source gives you a huge edge, because you know it just helps you open yourself more and also learn from more people. And I guess my question is, when you were living, or when you were in microbiology, maybe in year three before your final year, did you feel like you were going to use it, or you were just like, nah, I'm not using this thing?
Honestly speaking, like, I had a dream. I was like I'm going to do my master's because I was so involved. I think there's one of the strengths I have, which is like getting involved in something so much if I love doing it. So like it was like I'm in for this thing. I'm going to go and do master's. I'm going to, you know, do this, like, you know, some, I think I still dream of being a professor. That's interesting. I really had plans for it, but you know, I think being in tech really was also very, very interesting and exciting for me. So I had plans.
Yeah, because I know that I studied mechanical engineering, and before I came into like this whole web dev space, I was doing a bit of, you know, jewelry, and you know how African parents can be. It was not easy for them to realize that I was not going to use mechanical engineering to practice it as a full-time job. They were always sending me job posts on WhatsApp, like, see this job, apply to this job. It just wasn't, like, it didn't make sense to them at that time. Like, why won't you use what you studied in school?
Exactly.
But was it easy for your family to just like see you transition to tech when you told them that this was something you wanted to do?
I would say it was so easy, because like, you know, with learning, like, especially that period when you're learning tech, you have to be so focused on your learning, your computer. Like, you know how like Nigerian parents would complain anytime you're with your phone, you're always on your phone and stuff. So it was like, I'm always on my computer. I'm always trying to go to a tech hub, or I'm trying to do something. Like, it was a whole back and forth, but I think to some extent, like, I got some support, because they're like, okay. And because it was the pandemic too, like, it's not like I said I'm not going to do NYSE because I want to go to. So I just had like free time, right? Everybody was stuck at home, so like, naturally people will be doing like learning skills and stuff, and the skill me I decided to learn is within tech. So there were some difficulties, but I think it was not so hard to.
It wasn't so hard. Okay. And looking back now, I'm sure they're so proud of you, everything you've done. Okay. One of the things I love about you is how you're so open to share your progress and your, you know, documents, everything that happens throughout your journey. And on your blog, you write about the highlights of your year, like 2023 highlights, the highs, the lows, 2022. And in 2022, you left your job as a technical content marketing manager at a company that we both know, right?
We both worked at.
So I know that leaving a job does not come easy. It takes a lot for you to actually walk away from a job that is paying you also really well. So how exactly did you find the courage to just say, okay, no, I'm going to leave this job?
Okay. So I think you're breaking up a bit, but like, I heard
did,
you.
Did
so
I break up?
Sure,
did you hear me?
Hearing me clearly. Yeah, I heard the question, but I want to be sure that you're hearing me. Okay, great.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, like, true. It's difficult to leave something. And first, I want to even talk about, like, even with how I write, like, my year-to-year reviews. I wish I did more of writing these days. But my first job, you know, after, I think after, like, 1 year, yes, either one year and a few months after like learning, you know, how to write, like how to like code. I was also like kind of writing in between, like learning, as I was learning Python and Django, I was doing like blog posts about like the different things I was learning. So that's even how I got the role as a technical writer. And then I think I started looking for developer related roles, but I was seeing more of like some technical writing roles. So like I was like, okay, since I do technical writing, I've been practicing this and learning, maybe I should, you know, apply to these kind of roles. And that's how I got that first job as a technical writer. Now, over the time of doing that job, as well, like it was more of like, this is writing, like the role involved me writing for different companies that had like different goals. So for me, context switching was a lot, right? And aside from that, I was also still doing like my open source like community stuff on the side. So I, at some point, I got like really burned out trying to like manage everything. And, you know, with writing, it's very resource intensive. Like you have to give a lot of time to it. You have to like you know, do a lot of research sometimes. And like the fact that it's different clients, it can get really you know, stressful. So I before I made that decision, it was like, okay, this is where I want. Also at that point, I was looking to go into open source full time, right? That was also something that was really important to me, because I felt that, like, you know, open source is the core of my journey. I enjoy contributing to open source, I enjoy participating in open source related activities. And I found, like, I researched that, okay, there's something called open source program management, and like people are paid full time to work on open source. And I was like, okay, this is the case. And like, okay, I want to be at this point. Like, what are the things that are limiting me to be here? And also, I was also burned out, like, personally, like, with a lot of activities. So I was like, okay, this is a decision that you have to make, regardless of, like, you know, the pay, and how comfortable that you are. I was like, okay, I need to make this decision, because one is I was burned out. Two is I want to get to somewhere, and you know, I need to make steps to get to that place that I want to be at. So, and then difficult steps will definitely happen. So that's how I was able to like navigate that decision or leaving that role.
Yeah, that's very brave, because it's not easy. You know, I see a lot of people just get stuck in a job for years just because, you know, it's because of the financial rewards. And while I know that's like, not everyone has the luxury of just stepping away from a job that is not really serving them, but in your own case, I see that you decided to put yourself first before any job. Like, you just prioritize yourself, like your mental health comes first before any job. So yeah, that's really good. And while you left, what was the job hunting feels like after you resigned from the role? Like, I know you faced a lot of rejection.
Trying to remember that it was a lot.
I know it was a lot. So.
Yeah, I stayed. So I resigned in like the first quarter of like 2022, right? So I got another role in January of like 2023. So it was like almost
9 months.
Ten months period of job hunting. And it was so frustrating, honestly. And that was, I think that was the period. No, I don't think the whole tech layoffs had started then, but because I wanted to find roles that were specific to open source, right? So it was niched down, like I knew what I wanted, like this is what I want. So I wasn't looking for maybe another technical writing job, or I wasn't looking for like a developer job, but I was looking for specific to like program management in open source, right? Or community management in open source. So that was like twice as hard. Not just that, okay, this is something that I'm this is a skill that I'm honing right now, but also the fact that location-based, like, kind of related challenges where you're, like, not based in the US or not based in Europe. So that was a lot. It was, like, a lot of rejections. And I think something that helped me navigate that period, even before I eventually got a role in 2023 in, like, a company that was invested in open source, and, like, it was, like, a role where I would get to work with program managers in open source. Before then, I started getting, like, you know, some paid open source, you know, opportunities that sustained me throughout that period of job hunting, because it really, really very tough, like, so tough.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine, because even myself, I suffered layoff sometime 2022, and the job market itself is not so easy.
Yeah,
so true. I think one of the things that just helped me was I was getting lots of rejections also during that period. So at some point, I just paused. I just took a break from everything. I'm like, okay, I'm not sending any application to
like,
any
job. I think I had those points too. Because like, it was like, it can get really, really frustrating. And you just, you know, tell on you. And like, you begin to doubt yourself. What
exactly,
you
know, yeah.
So I think I took breaks as well from the applications. Like, I'll just be like, okay, this month I'm going to take a step back. I'm not going to send in any applications for now. And the funny thing that happened is that, like, I think it was towards the end of the year, I took like a break of like, let me just focus on like the few things that I'm doing that maybe kind of like giving me money. And then randomly, like, I think some people make this joke where they be like, is the companies that will stress you that you will get, like, random.
Exactly.
My then manager, because I no longer work there anymore, like, my then manager just like reached out to me on LinkedIn. I was like, I see that you're doing this work. Like, would you be interested in doing this kind of role? I'm like, oh, wow, yes, I'm interested. And that, it was a one-time interview. Like, I just met with the whole team. And then, like, it was like, okay, we want to hire you. You get, so, like, it was just very seamless. So sometimes, like, taking that break when you're getting a lot of rejections, because it can be very frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. Because I know that, you know what they say about when you're chasing something, it just keeps running away from you. But the moment you just stop, like, it starts coming to you. Yeah, so for me, that was literally almost the same thing that happened to me, because I kept on applying to jobs, getting rejections. I was like, okay, like, I'm doing something. I have, you know, track record of things I've done. I'll probably have felt that it should have been a lot easier. Yeah, but just get no, unfortunately. In fact, when I'm about opening a job that, you know, the email, I'm just like, what's inside this email? What? I open it.
How rejection email,
how they phrase it, right?
How the subject, like, oh, okay.
They'll just tell you updates
yeah,
on your
exactly.
application.
Update was like how the subject.
Yeah, if you don't see congrats, like, okay, if you just see updates, you're like, oh my gosh.
Okay,
so for me, it was, it was the point where I just pulled back and I said, okay, I'm going to take a break from, you know, applying. And that was how, when I saw another opportunity, I applied. That was like almost after 2-3 months I applied, and this role was so seamless. Like, it was straight to the point. It didn't even stress me, like, how others, somehow get to almost the final step and they'll still tell you no. So it was crazy. Ruth, I forgot to introduce you as a GitHub star. Like, you're a GitHub star, and, you know, I think you are a GitHub star for the 4th year kind of in a row, right?
Yeah.
So that's really incredible. So how was it when, you know, you got that first GitHub star award? How did that make you feel?
It was so like, it came in like, okay, so I said learning tech in 2020, right? So like, I think it was around October, right, that they had started the program. So they started the program with a couple of people, I think some in Africa. There were like 4 or 3 people they started the program with, right? And so when like I got, so the process is you get a nomination first, And then like they would, you would like review, they would, you'd send like a, your work or like things that you were doing, like evidence of like kind of like what you're doing in tech or in your community. Exactly.
Okay.
And then, you know, they'll vet it and you get the award. So first when I got the nomination, I was like, oh wow, like it was surprising because like it was the same year, like I was just like, maybe it was not up to a year of like doing open source or even doing tech.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that came up as a surprise, but also I think it was also deserving because like when I think when I got to talk with one of the people leading the program at GitHub, like she's like, she was really impressed with like the work that I'd done in such a short time, right? Mm-hmm. The work I'd done in such a short time. So it was exciting, but I knew I had like a few months of imposter syndrome, but like it was really, really interesting and exciting mm-hmm. for me.
That's good. And now you're the lead community, you know, manager at Chaos Africa. So mm-hmm. what's Chaos and like what exactly do you do at Chaos?
So the Chaos is like an acronym, so it means community mm-hmm. health open analytics in open source software. So the Chaos project is a Linux Foundation project, and we create metrics and software for other open source communities to analyze the health of their contributors, the health of their software. Okay. And in terms of health, it's more of like how active they are, contributor participation, contributor, you know, how they are contributing to different parts of the software. And then also for risks of the software, you know, compliance, things like that. So those are the kind of metrics we create at the Chaos project, and my role is particularly on like leading the African community, right? So we have like chapters across the globe.
Okay.
So I lead like the Chaos Africa community, and that community started in 2022. That was one of the things that I started doing as a paid paid kind of like opportunity for me that kind of sustained me even before I got like that role in 2023. So my contribution, like my role revolves around like I started up the African community. When I started contributing to Chaos in 2020, we're just very few Africans that were in the project. So over time, with advocating about open source, telling people, okay, there's this really good project that I am part of, right? You can contribute to it. This is how you can contribute to it, right? So, you know, we grew the community and like, okay, there's like, we have a lot of African contributors, let's start up a chapter, right? And then mm-hmm. like, okay, Ruth is there, Ruth lead this chapter. So it's like, you know, a very organic thing that happens. So I mostly oversee the community, and we have our like 2 years kind of like anniversary for the chapter in like next mm-hmm. month, and just seeing the growth of the community has been good. So I lead a lot of like the efforts, you know, coordinate people to contribute to different areas of the Chaos project, and then supporting a lot of African open source conferences here. So yeah, that's what my role around Chaos Africa.
Chaos Africa is about.
Other things I do within Chaos is like maintainer. I'm one of the maintainers for our DEI working group, and also one of the board members as well. So
That's interesting. So what exactly is like your day to day, you know, activity like just working at Chaos? Because I'm just trying to understand.
This week. So mm-hmm. I got this GDG invited me to do this day in your life thing. It was so chaotic and interesting. Before then, I wouldn't even be able to like say this is what I do on a day to day. But like I think through that activity, I was able to know, okay, this is what I actually do on a day to day. So day to day, I think maybe, do I speak generally from Chaos or just like in general?
From Chaos,
what I do mostly is a day to day would be like checking in, like for Chaos Africa, sometimes you have like activities. We do partnerships with other communities. So I would be checking on like different leads. So we have like different focus groups, smaller groups that, you know, maybe like a developer focus group, a design focus group, a technical writing focus group, right? So I would check in with those people leading those different arms or those different focus group, and like get updates from them, you know, any needs that they have that I can weigh in on. Like sometimes some days I'm leading meetings, facilitating meetings, I'm weighing on like decisions, I'm trying to say, okay, this is the way we should go here, there, and then also some bit of strategy, like, okay, this is what we should do this year. I'm also like in charge of making some of the financial decisions for like the funds that are donated to the community, reaching out to people that would be able to do those kind of projects. So that's like a usual day-to-day for me, but it kind of like varies depending on what activity we're doing. It involves travel as well. So I think I mentioned that we kind of support like, some smaller open source conferences around the
conferences, yeah.
So sometimes I will get to like travel to those conferences, do a talk about chaos, get people to understand what the chaos project means, coordinate with like the conference people. So it depends really on like different things.
Okay, that gives a good context as to like just painting a picture on what you do. And for someone that does a lot of visible work in like the tech space, the tech community, how exactly do you get inspired to keep doing more without feeling burnt out or feeling overwhelmed? So how do you get inspired to keep doing more every single day?
I think it's the evidence of the work, I would say. Like, for example, like I see how much of like in the past, like I was saying that we are almost 2 years, I see how much the community has grown. I see how the community has given opportunity to people. So in terms of like this person joined this community and like they're now having, maybe before now they don't have like a day-to-day routine, but like they're able to do something, they're able to practice what they're learning, they're able to get opportunities, even paid opportunities. Like I see them go through these different phases. So it's like, okay, this is the motivation I have to keep doing things, right? Like to keep showing up, to keep, even sometimes when I'm like really tired, exhausted, I'm like, okay, this is something that is being beneficial to people. This is software that is helping people, get more opportunities, feel more confident about themselves. So I think that's what, like, one of the things that drives me to keep, you know, contributing to the community and keep looking for ways to find opportunities for others as well.
That's so good. So seeing the visible work that you do and the impact that you're having is like a lot of inspiration for you. Yeah, okay, that's good. And for anyone, like, we're gradually wrapping up, for anyone out there just starting their career, especially if they're coming from a non-technical field, what advice do you have for them?
I think being curious, like, and I think a lot of things I see these days is that people are just in tech for the get rich quick scheme, and it's fine. Like, tech improves people's lives, like financially, because it gives you opportunities that, you know, it's the barrier to entry is quite low than other fields, but still maintaining that curiosity mindset and that creative mindset. Like, you're doing things and as you're learning, you're trying to build something. So even when you fail like at something, or even when, like, for example, we just even like down the our chat, we have talked about how job hunting can be very, very difficult, and like, you know, even for us as people that have had experience. So imagine like somebody just starting up. So having that, you know, curious mindset, having that creative mindset, and just feel like, okay, you're experimenting things, you're learning, you're trying to grow, right? It helps you keep being creative, or like even regardless of like the challenges that you'd face. So that's something I would always like recommend to people. And then volunteering, like doing things, like contributing to open source, like engaging with people, sharing what you're learning with others, like that's also another part of it, like that kind of helped me a lot. If people, because the GitHub Star Nomination, for example, or every other opportunity I've gotten have been through people seeing like, this is the work that this person is doing, and they are like, sometimes I'm top mind for them, like when it comes to like opportunities to get, because like they see my work is visible, like you said, like this is visible, like it's out there in the public, it's in, it's, you can search it up and you would see it, like you can't deny that, right? So yeah, putting your work out there, sometimes it's really a good opportunity, and having the mindset to learn, because then with putting work out there, I think some people get very scared to do that, because you know, people, a lot of people have opinions every time, but picking those opinions that actually matter to you, honestly speaking, because like for example, you post something on Twitter, like or on your social media, and like people have a lot of thoughts on how it would have been better, but you not seeing them as okay, this is, and then some people cannot give constructive criticism though, like that's different, but like you picking the things that are valuable to you and just like improve on them, like just keep improving, keep learning, keep connecting with people, networking better. Sometimes it's not just about like just taking somebody's social media handle or like your their number or something, it goes beyond that, like what are you doing to show up, you know, just for that person to see that this person is actually going an extra step and this person knows what they are doing, right? Because most of the time when you take people's social media handles, it doesn't mean that they will just automatically recommend you for work that to do, they have to see what effort you're putting into. So I think that's the different levels of advice I would give to people that are starting out, even though they're even in technical or non-technical fields. So kind of like applies to both.
Yeah, that's Kolisi advice. I don't have anything else to add to it. So exactly what Ruth has said, just if you're starting out your career in tech, whether you're coming from a technical or non-technical background, like just put into practice everything and don't feel like, you know, getting those rejections is the end of the world.
Yeah,
just
keep pushing, really.
It's not the end of the world at all. All right, so wrapping up, are you working on any interesting projects that you like to share?
Okay, so I think the most interesting project I'm currently working on now is a research grant I got last year. So so this research grant is to do research on how open source communities in Africa are thriving. So the biggest excitement or the biggest part of it for me is that I'll get to, you know, do a lot of travel within African
countries.
And then I'll know when
countries that start with C.
I don't think twice. Yes, exactly. So that's the biggest thing. So I get to go to these countries. I get to like meet people. I get to also, you know, impact, like show the impact of my work and even expand my network, see more people that are doing awesome things, because sometimes you're in Nigeria, you feel like it's only just Nigeria that's doing a lot of tech things. There are other people in other countries doing tech stuff too. I get to share resources with these people, and you know, I get to do a bit of vacation in between.
Yeah, vacation is so necessary.
Yes,
because you
exactly
do the work, so you should also chill and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the exciting thing for me this period or this year, that's, you know, in the world.
All right, look forward to seeing everything that, you know, you'll keep doing, and every single, you know, event that you'll be hosting, and hopefully they all go very well. This has been a very beautiful conversation, getting to hear your story, your journey, and just seeing how you were able to push through life and the challenges to still make success for yourself. So thank you, Ruth, for joining me on the podcast. Yeah, it was. All right, thank you everyone, and yeah, we'll see you in another one site.